Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration, with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader. Inspiration Nation shares inspiration from the world of words and is the place where connection comes from life experience and personal stories. Inspiration Nation Radio is proud to bring you authors, writers, speakers, and leaders from different walks of life to empower and inspire you to live from your best self. Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration. And now, welcome to the show with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader.
Welcome, welcome everybody to another episode of Inspiration Nation. I am your host, Teresa Morrow, and this week I have with me the Jollytologist, Mr. Alan Klein. Hi, Alan. How are you?
I am fantastical. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We were talking earlier about how we're both in some decent weather, so we have to be jolly about that and happy
and grateful.
About that. Yes, grateful. Absolutely. As some of our other friends are not so fortunate. But that's what I wanted to talk with you about, and that's kind of what you embody is when times get tough, whatever that may be, whatever situation that may be, you want to share and help people bring humor and healing into those situations, right?
Exactly, yes. And I know it's often difficult for people, particularly illness, loss, mm-hmm. Loss of losing your job, loss of, you know, a loved one, a friend, while getting older, you know, there is loss in our life. In fact, the comedian Woody Allen said, birth is a fatal disease. yet it's difficult for people. And so we could talk about my own loss and how I saw humor there and how the world is, or if you believe in God, higher power, whatever, I believe it led me to do this work to show people how to lighten up in life's challenges and when life is our own life is challenged.
Yeah, because you started, you know, writing. I read a bit of your story, and I wanted to share a little bit about that with the listeners. When you lost your wife, and she was fairly young, and you and I share, actually, it's interesting to me how stories interconnect with people's lives. Your wife passed when she was 34. My biological mom passed when she was 34. I just thought that was kind of, you know, young. You know, it is young, and it's interesting, you know. But and that's how you kind of got your start with doing this. But was it her humor, though, through her process that, you know, led you to begin to cope and then decide to share with the world about humor and healing?
Yes. And, you know, I don't want to make it sound like the 3 years mm-hmm. that we knew she had a terminal liver disease, that it was all laughter. There was certainly
right.
lots and lots of tears.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also laughter. And, you know, this kind of light bulb went off in my head after she passed mm-hmm. away, how that laughter, even if it was 10 seconds, 20 seconds, helped us get through that day. give you one example. She was in the hospital with a copy of Playgirl magazine with the male nude centerfold, and she said, Alan, hey, I really like this hunky nude man. Can you put it on the wall by the bed over there? And I said, Ellen, this is a hospital. You know, a little escape for that. And she
right.
said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you get a leaf from the plant on the counter over there and put it you know where. And I covered up that, and things are fine for the first day, fine for the second day, but by the third day, the leaves start shriveling up. And we would look at that picture, or we would just remember the picture after she came home from the hospital, and we would laugh. And, you know, as I say, it wasn't a lot of laughter, but looking back, it was like a glimmer of hope. It gave us a reprieve. It gave us just a little bit of perspective and help us move to the next moment. And so after Ellen passed away, I went back to school to learn about death and dying, because no one ever that close to me had died before. And I gave up a business I had to do that, and I became a hospice volunteer. I became a home health care aide. And I would notice how people would often, that were seriously ill, would often use humor. And sometimes it was sarcastic humor. Sometimes it was, you know, what we call put-down humor. But sometimes it was the only power they had left. And I realized what a great thing this was. And nobody was talking about it. Nobody was mentioning humor in death and dying situations. So I went back to school. I got a master's degree in human, H-U-M-A-N, development. And my thesis became The Healing Power of Humor, which turned into my first book, which is now, I think, in a 40th printing and 9th foreign language translation.
Woohoo, that's awesome.
So one of the things I learned from that experience, you know, life experience, is sometimes in our most difficult of moments, we cannot see down the road. We can't see why this is happening to us. And, of course, like a lot of people that maybe have gone through a loss with a loved one, I kept asking, why me? You know, why is this happening? And what I realized down the road is I was at a certain point in my life, and I needed to be there so I can share my message with the world about how humor could help us get through anything. And the amazing thing, Teresa, is I almost failed speech in college, and now I've been a award-winning professional speaker for over 20 years.
Isn't that amazing how... life turns and twists and can create something magical out of different events. You are kind of speaking to the choir here when you talk about healing and humor. As I mentioned earlier, my biological mom passed when I was only 6. She was 34. But my stepmother, she basically raised me. I call her my mom, too. She just passed in June this past year. So as you were talking about humor and, you know, your wife and stuff, it made me think about things that my mom did as we were going through that transition with her cancer and at hospice and stuff that she would say, which would make her laugh and us laugh, and it did kind of lighten the mood and through all of the crazy other stuff that was going on. It's just interesting how it can break that rigorous road that you're on sometimes when you're dealing with something.
Right,
and like
it
you
is,
said.
Yeah. Just like tears, it's very beneficial. It's also a great coping mechanism when, you know, we're going wits end, that, you know, we don't know how to cope. Suddenly some humor will pop up its head and suddenly you feel a little bit of relief. And, you know, human beings are the only one that have this capability. I mean, we think, you know, a cat or dog may be smiling at us. And I understand if you tickle a chimpanzee, it will kind of smile and chuckle. But we're the only ones that can take a situation and see it differently and find a little something to laugh about in it. We are the only ones that can do that. And I'm convinced there's some higher power that gave us that ability so that we can get through difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Interesting to me. Like I said, you know, in different situations that I've been through too, and others that I've met, how I've read books where someone's lost someone or they've gone through a difficult situation where humor has helped them get through those different pieces of an event. I'm sure you've heard probably a few stories from people reading your books. Do you have a few? Or one at least that you...
Oh, how they've used humor? Well, not only in death and dying situations, but also in other difficult situations. I remember when I was first starting to do humor programs, I got a letter. There was no email at the time. That's how long ago it's been. I guess we now think about our time, email or pre-email, pre-email. And it was a pastoral counselor, someone who worked in a hospital, you know, consoling dying people. And he actually hired me to do a program at his hospital. And I didn't know this. He said 3 years before he had hired me, he was in my workshop. And at that time, now I give out clown noses. Everyone gets a clown nose to use in their difficult situation. But at that time, I gave out, I bought thousands of pickle whistles. So it was looked like a pickle that you could whistle. And he said, he came back to his office and he had seen so many ill and dying patients that day that he was just ready to quit. He was so burned out. And he said, I opened my desk drawer to get a pen or a pencil or something, and he said, I saw the pickle whistle, I picked it up, I blew it, and I just burst out laughing, and I realized that I could go on with my job, and I need to lighten up about it. And, you know, just amazing little stupid little prop, you know.
Yeah.
And I say, give out the clown noses. One woman wrote to me, she said, my husband and I, we were arguing a lot, and she said, I went and bought a dozen clown noses, and I put them around the house. And she said, now when we start an argument, she said, we pick up a clown nose, put it on, and we laugh at each other, and we have stopped arguing, and we're much more loving to each other.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
it doesn't
take a lot, you know? I think... Basically, it's a change of mindset. It's your attitude. In my programs, I go through the letters L-A-U-G-H, and the A is attitude. And, you know, it's our attitude. You know, we see everything through our eyes, not through the way things are sometimes. You know, one person in a traffic jam may get really upset and yell and curse, and another person might go, great, I'm going to be late to a meeting I didn't want to go to anyhow, or put together their shopping list, or put on the radio or CD they're listening to, or, you know, whatever it is, but take advantage of that opportunity of being stuck in traffic. So it's not the situation, it's the way we look and see the situation.
That is so true. You just mentioned something that I try to start doing that more and more. Like you said, you know, traffic jams or things that I can't control, like a traffic jam. If it's not my, you know, doing and I'm late for something, or if something's not working exactly the way that I may have thought it was, I kind of step back. I'm able to step back better now than I used to. And like you said, look at it in a different perspective. Actually look at the positive aspect, or utilize it in a different way instead of being upset or worried or mad about it.
Right. If my plane is delayed or canceled, they change my seat, you know, I go, well, who am I supposed to sit next to and meet today? I wasn't supposed to meet that other person. Or I'll sit at the airport and find something amusing. I remember once, you know, one of the things you listeners can do to find some of this change in attitude is look at kids. Look at young kids, because they take difficult situations and they immediately turn it into play. I was at the airport. My plane was going to be delayed 3 hours. A lot of the people on the plane were very upset, you know, yelling at the gate agent. And I was watching these two kids with their mom. The mom sat down, and the kids went, took out little cars and trucks, you know, toy trucks and cars, and sat on the ground and used the rug as a little highway, because there was a pattern on the rug, to play and make believe that this was a road highway and they were, you know, going somewhere in the car. And I thought, same exact situation, but the kids are playing with it and having a good time, and other people are getting upset.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So just you know, if you have kids, if you don't have kids, go to the park and watch other kids play. I think kids could be our greatest teachers. You know, I talking about the healing power of humor, when I was first writing that book, my daughter was a teenager, and she would constantly interrupt me, you know, and I'm trying to write, and as soon as she'd interrupt me, a thought went out of my head, and so I closed my office door and I put a sign on, do not disturb unless it's an emergency, is what the sign said. And 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and I, you know, yell, yes, Sarah, you know, what do you want? Can't you read the sign? She said, I said, is it an emergency? And she said, yes. So I opened the door. I said, what is the emergency? She said, I've got to tell you I love you.
Oh, my goodness.
My heart sank. You know, it's like, what a great lesson my daughter taught me. You know, kids are incredible.
They are. Sometimes they're our best teacher.
Exactly. So I'm working on another book.
Awesome.
It's at a publisher. I hope they'll buy it. It's called Secrets Kids Know and Adults Ought to Learn.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I know I've learned a lot from my daughter, just different things. Patience, never giving up, humor, laughter, silliness, you know.
Silliness. Oh, I love it. You know, my daughter, we live in the city, so my daughter and I sometimes will walk down the street and something will come over us and we'll go up to a parking meter and make believe it's a microphone. And we'll just sing some song as if we're on stage. I mean, silliness, I think silliness is great, and adults need to learn more silliness. You know, when I used to be a scenic designer for Captain Kangaroo at CBS Television for 10 years, and I had to learn to think like a child. And I had to be a little more silly. And I think a lot of that has rubbed off to me today as I'm older, because I saw how great it was, how not to take the world so seriously, and how a little silliness can really save the day and keep us sane. Because then sometimes the world feels like it's insane. And just do something silly and see what happens.
That is so true. That is so true. I mean, as you were saying that, I was thinking of different things, you know, my daughter and I have done. Sometimes we'll just be having a conversation, and one of us will say something offhanded, whatever it may be, just something, you know, we might say the sentence wrong or the word wrong or whatever, and we'll just bust out laughing. And sometimes we can't stop, but it just allows us to just break the monotony of whatever was going on, or we'll be in a conversation and, you know, she may say something, and it's just so such a relief. You know, it's kind of a reminder, like, Mom, you don't have to be so serious all the time, or it isn't as big as you're making it out to be, you know. or whatever.
You know, so she
taught me a lot.
Yeah, my daughter and I, we live in a city that has lots of foreign visitors. And I know this is probably not politically correct today, but if we hear someone from a different country, and as soon as they pass, we'll try to talk in their language, you know, with that accent, although we have no idea what we're saying. It's all gibberish. But again, it's being playful, it's being silly, it's enjoying each other's company.
Right. So it's so important. Sometimes we get so so serious and so hung up on the things we have going on that we don't allow enough humor in. And it is healing. I mean, in whatever situation.
Exactly. And, you know, it's easy to be silly and banter with somebody else. So you need to find your humor buddy. Find somebody that, even if it's just on the phone, maybe they don't even live near you, that maybe you can call once a week and talk about any humorous or things that made you smile or giggle or absurd things that happened, or, you know, just kind of somebody that you can bounce off funny things with. Because it is a little harder to find the humor by yourself. So,
I like that idea. That's a cool idea. Find a humor buddy.
Right.
That's kind of a cool idea.
And I think we all have them. You know, most people have somebody in their life, like my daughter, that you can laugh a lot with. And so, you know, whenever you're down, you can chat with that person or send funny things back. And particularly with the internet today, I mean, you can send cartoons back and forth to that person, particularly if they live far away. You can do Skype with them and talk to them, you know, live and
yeah.
Maybe we may, if you know jokes well, you know, tell them a joke once a week. Or it's just so available today, and particularly with the internet, so available to find the humor that's always there.
Yeah, don't allow it to kind of pass you by. Maybe find ways to put in more humor into our lives. It's funny that you were talking about cartoons and stuff, that my mom used to do that all the time. She would send me these, whatever, it would be Snoopy or Calvin and Hobbes or a quote or some joke that somebody else would send her, and she would send it on to me. Sometimes it was two or three times a week. Sometimes it would go a couple of weeks and she wouldn't send me anything, but it was always neat to see. I'm like, oh, get something for Mom. You knew it was most likely something funny, something humorous to lighten your day. You know,
right.
And so,
you know, one of the things your listeners can do is self-effacing you. In other words, poke fun at yourself. So give you an example. I am almost totally bald. And so I tell people I'm a former expert in how to cure baldness. So I make fun of my bald head. Now, my father, on the other hand, was as bald as I am. It's where I get it. But if you would say he was bald, he would get totally insulted. You know, and he would stress out if you'd said he was bald. But he was bald. So I used to laugh a lot when he would say that. Of course, he'd get angry at me. But make fun of yourself. You know, now, if you do that too much, it's not healthy. You're putting yourself down too much. But some little thing that, because people are going to notice it, you know, they're going to notice I'm bald. There's nothing I could do about it. And so I chuckle about it.
Well, and I look at it more at embracing who you are. Like you say, you can't do anything about it. Just like I'm 5 feet tall. I can't be taller. I could say the same thing that you did. You know, I could be a former expert at being, you know, as being short or tall or whatever, you know, I mean, I can't change the fact. I'm not going to get any taller. It's not going to happen, you know.
Right. So you need, like, some kind of affirmation. I totally believe in affirmations, like, small things come in great packages or something, you know. So the other thing is, you know, people want more humor in their life is to have the intention. So how do they wake up in the morning?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you wake up? What do you, you know, grumpy? Mm-hmm. Do you put on the news right away and hear about all that terrible stuff? Or do you say, I usually sing in the morning, particularly in the shower. I grew up in New York, so I used to see Broadway shows all the time, so I make up my own lyrics to Broadway music, but it just starts my day on a high note. And
right.
I think that's what you need to do, particularly to counteract all of the negative stuff in the world. You need to consciously say to yourself, I'm not going to feed into that. This is my intention.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to laugh today. I'm going to have a good time, no matter what.
Yeah. I think those two points are extremely important, because those are the things I share, too, with my clients and my coaching and my work. But is that, you know, one, to set the intention and to bring forth those affirmations, because like we were talking, you know, I'm short, but I've never seen it as a bad thing. It's who I am, and so I embrace that. I embrace that part of myself. And I think it's sitting in that gratitude and, like you say, every day, setting that intention of gratitude, or, you know, embracing the blessings that we have in our life, the positivity, and then being able
and you
to
know,
bring
Teresa,
it out to the world.
What I've realized recently about gratitude, often we're grateful for the good stuff in our life, but to be grateful for the not so good stuff in our life, because sometimes those are our greatest teachers. We learn so much when things are not going right, you know. When things are going right, we go, this is great. But, you know, for instance, we talked about my wife passing. That's not something I wanted to happen. I had no control over that. But look what happened out of that incident. You know, I've written 25 books. I've influenced people all over the world with them. Hopefully have changed people's lives, and I know I have by the letters and the emails I get. None of that would have happened, perhaps, who knows, if she was still alive today. So even those major setbacks in our life, I see them as a reason for being and who we are, and help us to grow. So I'm grateful for some of those lessons.
I'm right there with you. I couldn't agree more, because that's some things when, like you say, the tough spots have been some of my greatest teachers as well. And I think that's true. But again, I think it also goes back to that perspective piece we were talking about, and how you want to look at those things too, and turn those things around. And we all have our grieving process, and we all have to go through that human cycle. But to be able to get out those pieces, those gratitude pieces, those moments of joy or laughter or humor, even in the midst of it, of those tough spots, I think that.
Right. You know, we talked about attitude. Viktor Frankl, who wrote a whole book about a man called Man's Search for Meaning, in a concentration camp, found humor every single day. And he said, the only power we have over any situation is our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a quote that in one of my books that now is going around the internet, that your listeners might want to remember, and it's, our attitude are the crayons that color our world. Our attitude are the crayons that color our world. And it's so true. So your listeners are going to see the day through their eyes and through nobody else's eyes. And how do they want to see it? Do they want to have a joyous day, or do they want to have a not-so-great day? Up to them. Totally up to them. I don't care what's happening. Totally up to them.
Right. It's our choice. Absolutely. Yep. It's our choice.
Oh, yeah.
Before we
so
go
I know
on,
we're not being very funny today.
Well, I mean, I think, though, that we talked about a lot of things that, you know, humor allows us to have in our world, because it's through those spaces, you know, through those moments that aren't so great that we can bring humor. And I think we've talked about that. Before we go, though, I wanted to have you share with people, where can they find out more about Alan?
So they can look on my website, which is www.alanklein.com. And they need to spell my both names right, because there's various spellings. So it's AllenKlein.com. AllenKlein.com. Lots of my books are on there that they can see, articles, other information. Or they can go to Amazon and look and see all the books that I've written there, too.
Our time is up, but it has been so wonderful talking with you, Alan. And thank you so much for sharing with us about bringing humor more into our life. Thank you, listeners, for being here. I remember, be the inspiration you wish to see in the world. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thanks, Alan, again.
Thank you, Teresa. Have a great day.
All righty, you too.
Bye. Bye.